You are a blasphemer, Mr. Burton. I read about you in the newspapers, and I read some of your books about Africa and India, and that one about the Mormons in the States. I also heard stories, most of which I found hard to believe. They made you out to be so wicked. Reginald was very indignant when he read your Qasida. He said he'd have no such foul, atheistic literature in his house, and he threw all your books into the furnace. If I'm so wicked, and you feel you're a fallen woman, why don't you leave? Must I repeat everything? The next group might have even worse men in it. And as you have been so kind to point out, you didn't force me. Anyway, I'm sure that you have some kind of heart beneath that cynical and mocking air. I saw you weeping when you were carrying Gwynafra, and she was crying. You have found me out, he said, grinning. Very well. So be it. I will be chivalrous. I will not attempt to seduce you or to molest you in any way. But the next time you see me chewing the gum, you would do well to hide. Meanwhile, I give my word of honor. You have nothing to fear from me as long as I am not under the influence of the gum. Her eyes widened, and she stopped. You plan to use it again? Why not? It apparently turned some people into violent beasts, but it had no such effect on me. I feel no craving for it, so I doubt its habit-forming. I used to smoke a pipe of opium now and then, you know, and I didn't become addicted to it, so I don't suppose I have a psychological weakness for drugs. I understood that you were very often deep in your cups, Mr. Burton. You and that nauseating creature, Mr. Swinburne. She stopped talking. A man had called out to her, and though she didn't understand Italian, she understood his obscene gesture. She blushed all over, but walked briskly on. Burton glared at the man. He was a well-built, brown-skinned youth with a big nose, a weak chin, and close-set eyes. His speech was that of the criminal class of the city of Bologna, where Burton had spent much time while investigating Etruscan relics and graves. Behind him were 10 men, most of them as unprepossessing and as wicked-looking as their leader, and 5 women. It was evident that the men wanted to add more women to the group. It was also evident that they would like to get their hands on the stone weapons of Burton's group. They were armed only with their grails or with bamboo sticks. Chapter 11 Burton spoke sharply, and his people closed up. Kaz didn't understand his words, but he sensed at once what was happening. He dropped back to form the rear guard with Burton. His brutish appearance and the hand axe in his huge fist checked the Bolognese somewhat. They followed the group, making loud comments and threats, but they didn't get much closer. When they reached the hills, however, the leader of the gang shouted a command, and it attacked. The youth with the close-set eyes, yelling, swinging his grail at the end of the strap, ran at Burton. Burton gauged the swing of the cylinder and then launched his bamboo spear just as the grail was arcing outward. The stone tip went into the man's solar plexus and he fell on his side with the spear sticking in him. The subhuman struck a swinging grail with a stick, which was knocked out of his hand. He leapt inward and brought the edge of the hand axe against the top of the head of his attacker, and that man went down with a bloody skull. Little Lav Ruach threw his grail into the chest of a man and ran up and jumped on him. His feet drove into the face of the man who was getting up again. The man went backward. Ruach bounded up and gashed the man's shoulder with his chert knife. The man, screaming, got to his feet and raced away. Frigate did better than Burton had expected him to, since he had turned pale and begun shaking when the gang had first challenged them. His grail was strapped to his left wrist, while his right held a hand axe. He charged into the group, was hit on the shoulder with a grail, the impact of which was lessened when he partially blocked it with his grail and he fell on his side. A man lifted a bamboo stick with both hands to bring it down on Frigate, but he rolled away, bringing his grail up and blocking the stick as it came down. Then he was up, his head butting into the man and carrying him back. Both went down, Frigate on top, and his stone axe struck the man twice on the temple. Alice had thrown her grail into the face of a man and then stabbed at him with the fire-sharpened end of her bamboo spear. Logu ran around to the side of the man and hit him across the head with her stick so hard that he dropped to his knees. The fight was over in 60 seconds. The other men fled with their women behind them, Burton turned the screaming leader onto his back and pulled his spear out of the pit of his stomach. The tip had not gone in more than half an inch. The man got to his feet and, clutching the streaming wound, staggered off across the plains. Two of the gang were unconscious but would probably survive. The man Frigate had attacked was dead.